for people that are looking for exposure into silver, Silver 47 is a good place to look at, because now post merger on a consolidated basis, and mind you, over three projects, we're now 246 million silver equivalent ounces. And now there's gold in there, and there's lots of other metals in there, but it's predominantly a silver silver play, and we're going to continue to grow that.
Gary Thompson, Silver 47 Exploration Corp. How are you today, my friend?
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. So you've had some big news. I hate to call it news because it's been pending for a while, but news, I guess, that you can talk about that finally got confirmed and everything is official over the last few days. Tell us about what happened, and let's start from there.
Yeah, I mean, the vote for the merger for Suma Silver is now complete, and we had the court approval. Plan of arrangement was approved last week as well, and so we announced that 99.9% in support of it. So I think shareholders are happy to be on the train here and moving to a much bigger bigger company. Ultimately, that was the rationale from beginning for this transaction, putting one plus one together to equal three, and it looks like that's pretty much what's happened here. We were both about 40 million market cap when we came together, and now we're 120 million. So I think that's a positive in the market. Likes it. Scale in our space is a good thing. And again, one of the reasons that we're doing this is to build scale, attract more capital and greater liquidity for shareholders, along the path. And this, for people that are looking for exposure into silver, Silver 47 is a good place to look at, because now post merger on a consolidated basis, and mind you, over three projects, we're now 246 million silver equivalent ounces, and now there's gold in there, and there's lots of other metals in there, but it's predominantly a silver silver play, and we're going to continue to grow that.
Got it. So I think I know the answer to this from me, but I want you to tell me yourself, if you would. Correct me if I'm wrong. This makes you, with the amount of silver that you have, a tier one asset. Is that correct? Classified as that?
Yeah, I think so. It puts us in the tier one category.
It does. Go ahead.
Three main projects are in the U.S. So Alaska, Nevada, and New Mexico make up that resource portfolio.
Got it. And I'm going to talk to my viewers and listeners now, but please jump in, chime in if I get this wrong. Usually this is me talking to my viewers and listeners. Where this goes, I don't know, but this is a wonderful thing. I perceive it as if you're an investor in either Silver One or Suma. The reason why it does this is not only gives you more assets in the ground, but it also gives you three projects. That is very key in looking at evaluating a company. Not that Gary won't take this into production, but that's what majors really look at, is where are the projects and how many assets do you have? Gary, back at you. What I love about this, I'm originally from Alaska, so you're in Alaska, very great mining jurisdiction. And then when you merged here, you merged with these properties with Suma down in the lower 48. That's what we Alaskans call the continental U.S. Where are these projects in the lower 48 and what jurisdictions are they in? I know the answer, but I want you to answer that.
Yeah. So, and by the way, just on the Alaska point, the Fraser Institute came out with a recent study putting Alaska number three in the world from an investable, one of the best places to invest. So number two was Nevada, which is where we are with the Hughes project. It's in the famous silver mining camp of Tonopah, which is basically right between and the center between Reno and the Las Vegas, just off the highway and the old town of Tonopah, which was a silver mining jurisdiction and camp for many years, around the turn of the century. So great place to be. Obviously, we're adjacent to BlackRock Silver, and they've been coming out with some good results on their project. So that camp is really split between BlackRock to the west and Silver 47 to the east, and we just haven't done as much drilling there as BlackRock has, but we think there's equal, if not more, potential to be found there. So we are planning to drill there over the winter months. Right now, we're actively drilling in Alaska, and then come the fall months, we'll shift gears. Not that we can't drill through the winter there in Alaska, but we have some extra challenges. It adds extra costs, and we don't need to be spending more money than we have to. So the plan is to shift gears into Mogollon, which is in New Mexico, on a district vein field that was producing high grade silver and gold up until World War II. And so we're excited to get back there and get some more drilling done to grow that resource.
Got it. And so that would be where the third jurisdiction is, correct me if I'm wrong, is in New Mexico.
That's
So
correct.
all three jurisdictions are just to me talking to my viewers and listeners. I mean, those are really fantastic. Let me real quick ask you about Alaska. What kind of lands are you on? Are they federal, state, or native lands in Alaska?
So it's a very large land block, 620 square kilometers on state managed lands, which is important from a permitting
Yes.
perspective.
Yes. Not to interrupt you. Yes. So, what you want to look at to all my investors and listeners, I don't want to say you, what I look at, federal lands is probably the least desirable. State lands is fantastic and one of the most desirable. And if, especially if they're adjacent to native lands, just especially in the state of Alaska, you just don't have to go through nearly the red tape that you do in other parts of the world. Being from there, I'm very familiar with it. Gary, what do investors now, since this is completed, what is the plan for these resources here? Take us through now until the end of the month. You mentioned, not month, end of the year. You mentioned that you have a drilling program going on in Alaska right now, and in the winter it's going to be happening in New Mexico and Nevada. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think the way to look at this is a company with a portfolio now has year-round news flow projects that we can shift gears on based on results and stage. So right now, the Red Mountain project in Alaska is the most advanced. What we're hoping to do with this season's of drilling is to provide an updated a resource statement towards the end of the year, perhaps early into 2026. And what we're hoping is, in addition to that, I guess some metallurgical work, because even though the previous operators had a fair amount of met work, we want to, that's one of those things you always want to try and optimize as you get towards a development scenario to see what the best plan is for recoveries. So we want to do some additional metallurgical work. But what's important to note is the significant amounts of antimony and gallium that were captured in some of the recent drilling has not been looked at for recovery. So we want to do some metallurgical work on those elements because the prices of those have gone through the roof over the last year with China putting a clamp down on exports of those commodities. And of course, they produce most of them. So we want to get that behind us and see what kind of recoveries, because they're not in the resource currently. We think there's an opportunity potentially to add them into the resource, the next statement. So post the next resource statement, which hopefully will be early in the new year, and depending on what the engineers can pull from data that we have, is to, well, do we have enough material to push this Red Mountain project into the PEA stage? So that's what we're gunning for. We won't know until we get more work done and get that revised statement and get some engineering work done on the economics to see where it sits. But we're certainly not far off, whether it's this season's drilling or perhaps next year. We're not far away from a PEA level project, and then we would just look to accelerate that into a development scenario as quickly as we can.
Wow. Okay. So that's really, I think, great insight and really big to all my viewers and listeners. That's really big news, not official news, but news, just Gary's desire to accelerate this into a development stage. That would be huge. Gary, let's talk a little bit, and then I want to talk about the company share structure and cash, if you would, situation with this merger. But you are still the you're the new chairman. Tell me about that. What's your official title, and are you still running the company?
Yeah, well, I'm executive chairman of the company, so certainly taking a step up from the CEO role, and Galen McNamara is taking on the CEO here to run basically run the day-to-day of the company, and so we're working together to unlock the value for shareholders here, and you know one of the things I'm going to be working on in the short term is you know with the U.S. Critical mineral strategy. It's of national security to secure these elements. We have what's crazy about the Red Mountain Project. If you look at the list of critical minerals we have in that polymetallic deposit, it's pretty significant. So we want to better understand that and see if we can tap into some of the funds made available through you know through this strategic initiative from the U.S. administration for advancing these critical mineral projects. So I'm going to be working on that to try and tap some of those funds that could be potentially grant money and non-dilutive to shareholders. So in any event, we think there's an opportunity to bring some of those funds in you know to the project.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, actually. One of my sponsors actually just received a grant because they're in the critical mineral space. And to all my viewers and listeners, that's a very real thing. It's not pie in the sky or a hope. If something's there, the right now the US government wants to fast track that. Gary, real quick, tell us about how much cash do you have in the bank and now since this merger, and what kind of share structure do you have? How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted?
Yeah, so we announced about a $15 million treasury around the transaction. Although you know we've been spending money and there's some transaction costs, so we're probably sitting around net $12 million in the bank. And shares outstanding post merger were 138 million shares out, and last time I looked, we're trading around 95 cents Canadian. So that puts us in the what 120 plus or minus million market cap.
Yeah, you're still really, really tight share structure. So that's music to my ears. Gary, lastly, well, let me ask you about that artwork behind your left shoulder. I'm assuming that's your kids. It just cracked me
Yeah,
up.
that's one of my boys doodling in here. We got all these whiteboards all over the office. Don't really use them so much, but they're good doodle jobs.
It's no problem. It just made me laugh. That's wonderful. Well, tell them I said hello. Gary, if to all investors out there or potential investors, how do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on? And give me your ticker symbols.
Yeah, website is silver47.ca. We're trading on the TSX Venture under the ticker AGA, and we're trading in the US on the OTCQB under AAGAF, so AAGAF on the OTCQB.
Got it. I will put all of this in the show notes below on the YouTube channel, as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Gary, I want to thank you so much. Looking forward to having you on again soon as you can news is released, more news is released, updates and when you can talk about them. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care.